It looks pretty
there
good.
Go. What?
Which one am I? Okay, I'm not one. Just blowing out the speakers.
That's awesome.
I need to be silenced.
Every time
a little bit more.
Begin one of these, you make a noise that I've never heard a human being make. And I love it.
Well,
I love it so much.
I'm trying to invent some new ones for my new career as like a sound effects guy.
Oh yeah.
It's like a guy who does sound effects.
Like they have the soundboard and stuff, but
yeah.
You just, whatever number was on the board pops up for you on like a visor or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And you just like make that.
I go wink.
Wink.
Wink. Onk.
Thonk.
Most
of the noises are just you saying like a fake onomatopoeia in a silly voice.
Well, what are
I guess
sounds?
What sound is. Yeah, that's exactly what sound is.
Fake onomatopoeias in a funny voice. And, you know, I thought I was doing my normal voice.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's a funny voice. I was unaware.
Well, any voice is a funny voice if you laugh at it.
It's true. That's why I'm always laughing.
That's
why I'm so happy all the time.
And we're happy to have another episode of Sword of Sorcery. Hey, guys.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
We're just two buddies discussing fantasy. Oh, God, it's Sword of Sorcery.
I don't know.
It's another week.
Yeah.
It's another week.
And we got a good one. We got a good one for you today.
Yeah. I mean, good. Good can mean almost anything.
Can mean a lot of things. Sorceress is the name of this.
Yep, that's right.
Not sorceresses, sorcerai, or whatever the plural of sorceress
would
be. No. Sorceress, because they are two who are one.
That's going to come back around.
It's going to come back in a big way.
Film.
Welcome to Sword of Sorcery, number one podcast for ladies.
Number one podcast for two ladies.
Number one podcast for two ladies. If you're one lady alone, you are not going to like
this
podcast.
No, if you're two has...
two women who are one.
Two as one, then it's for you.
It's for you. It's
and we're two as one here on this podcast of one mind when it comes to this movie.
Yeah. I mean, and that opinion is, we're going to say it.
One,
three,
two,
one. Amazing.
Yes.
Yes. Our opinion is yes.
Yes. I will say, you know, content warning for this one.
Oh.
I mean, it's too late if you've already watched the film.
You haven't.
But this is just the most deviant movie we've seen so far.
It is.
It's not the most deviant we could watch.
Exactly. That's why I hesitated.
If we ever make it to Deathstalker, that one is far more deviant.
That's worse.
But this one's still, it's very deviant. It's very horned up.
Yeah, in a very interesting way. Because, like, other characters will comment on the like sexual things that are happening. They'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is,
well, because somehow that's supposed to like take the air out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like the horrific things that are happening.
Somehow it doesn't.
Somehow it just doesn't.
I guess.
I mean, let's just get into it. Yeah.
Might as well get into it. So we start off as all good movies in this genre start.
Right.
Just some guys on horseback raiding a countryside.
I love it.
It's always great. And yeah, like, they're going off this like group of like berobed individuals.
Yeah.
Like they're on horseback. People they're chasing.
Yeah, some clerical types.
Yeah, like they're clerics. Yeah.
clerics.
And there's like a lady in the group, and she's pregnant, I guess.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, she says just so many names. There's
a
so
lot
many
of names.
Like, things that are dropped. She goes, Jatrius, Tragon is upon us. We must get to the house of, like, Dongrith or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's exactly how it goes down.
And it's like, that's how most of the dialogue is in this movie, and that's why I'm not going to be covering most of it. Just because, like, so many, like, names that just never get mentioned again. I'm skipping past
the only name you really need is Tragon.
You need Tragon.
Or
Tragon. Or Tragon.
Tragon if you're watching only the second half of the movie.
Exactly. It starts as Trigon, which is a cooler way to pronounce it. Becomes Tragon as the movie gets worse.
Yeah. A sign of things we've lost.
But yeah, so the horseback guys kill just all of the guys.
As they should.
So then it's just the pregnant lady who's left. And Kalgara, the guy who's at the lead of the horseback people, he is like accosting the pregnant lady. He's like, oh, give me the firstborn. Oh, yeah, she's not pregnant anymore. She was recently pregnant.
Yeah, well, she's got, you know, she
she's
just
given
had
birth. Yeah.
Two kids.
Well, Calgara thinks that she just had one kid. Or Trigon thinks that she just had one kid. And he's going to sacrifice the kid for Calgara, who is Trigon's god.
I guess, right? I guess.
Little does he know. He comes to find out. There's two kids. He doesn't know which one's the firstborn.
Classic bit.
But he's, you know, somewhat, he's overpromised on his resume to Calgara. He said, oh yeah, me, I can get you the firstborn easy, you know. But now he doesn't
know.
Easy
as pie.
Which
I
one.
Mean, just kill them both, right?
That was my thought. Yeah, just kill both of
but
them.
But I guess they, I mean, you know, not while Cronus around.
Not while Cronus around. Like lightning strikes near the goons, and then like Crona appears. And then Trigon says a very funny line. He's like, oh, he's unarmed. Let's get him.
Yeah.
He literally just summoned lightning.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously this guy is built different.
A guy throws a spear at him, and he hits him with, you know, the Northman special.
Yeah.
Before Northman.
Yeah, I mean, this is 1982.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an old head movie.
Strongly pre-Northman. And yeah, so obviously, what do you do when a spear comes at you? You catch the spear, throw it back.
Throw it right back. Boom.
Boom. And he's dead. He's done. Crona, he works, makes light work of all the goons. And at that point, it's just like Crona and Trigon standing off against each other. a very, very funny interaction occurs between the two of them. Crona goes, I didn't train these men to butcher and kill women. And do you remember what Trigon says?
He says, is that when he's like, it's for the greater good or something?
Well, he says, it's to that effect, but it's much funnier. It's, you never could appreciate the greater values.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's, yeah, yeah.
Just amazing.
You never could appreciate the greater values. Well, yeah, because there's an implication. He keeps talking about the greater good.
The greater good, yeah. That's his, like, motivation.
Or, like, greater values. And it's just, it's really unclear what his whole goal is.
Yeah, because, like, the way that he's pitched at the beginning, it's as if he's, like, this utilitarian kind of person. Like, sure, he's sacrificing the kids, but he's doing it for, like, the kingdom and, like, the empire and all that.
Well, then later he just promises everyone who follows him a kingdom.
Right.
And an army of their own. It's like, what
Which
is,
makes him seem
how does that contribute
to the greater good.
Good?
Yeah, I just don't know about that. You know, as these, elder wise characters do, he ferries away the children.
Yep.
Juices them. Well, before that, I guess, like, him and Trigon are having this, like, psychic battle, and the mom, like, goes and kills him.
Yeah. And he dies for the first time in this movie.
And then, you know, Crona brings the kids to this hut where, like...
It's always a hut.
If I sound, you know, exhausted when I'm saying this, it's because we've just seen this scene so many times. It's in Beastmaster, it's in Aitor.
Yeah.
It's a very formulaic kind of thing. But yeah, he gives the kids to this, like, pastoral farmer guy. And he's like, oh, raise them as boys.
Who surely will take good care of them.
Yeah.
And will not have his village be raided on account of their presence.
Right. It'll work out fine. And like, so, yeah, he takes the kids in, and he has to raise them as boys, I guess, because it's two girls.
Yep.
But he can't let the people know that for some reason.
No.
Which is interesting, because I didn't think that Trigon knew that they
were girls. Yeah, Trigon's just looking for two who are as one.
Yeah. Which is just twins.
So it could be any
No
twins.
Way to hide that.
Yeah.
this very funny thing that Crona says when he finds out that they're girls, like that the two kids are girls. He goes, you gods, the games that you play with us mere mortals.
Fucking you little...
Why would you make these two heroes women? That's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, was only the 80s.
This movie was made in the 80s.
It was only the 80s.
It's a different time. But, you know, in spite of them being women, he, like, mind blasts them and, like, teaches them
sorcery
and fighting. Yeah, the techniques of the masters, which we'll be tracking those techniques as we go along.
Turning blue is a big part of the technique.
Yeah. So, you know, things happen. Things occur.
Things
time
do
passes.
Occur.
And I guess
a lovely time skip as always.
Lovely time skip. The moon is in the house of the dragon, so Trigon can come back, and he's back.
Simple as that. Said he would come back, and then he came back.
Easy as that. Almost like he didn't need to die at all. He could have just like been generally incapacitated. I don't know.
Yeah,
because he just comes back like in a very
well
because
he has
soon after.
Three lives. And he's like, oh, yeah. How many times have I killed you? And he dies for the first time and when we see him in the beginning. So technically...
How do we know he has three lives? If that was his first life? Like, I feel
that was his first life.
I mean, I guess, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strange.
Weird.
So yeah, we cut to the two ladies. They're like splashing around in a river.
Yeah, when we say this is a horny movie, this is a very horny movie.
It's a very horny movie.
Yeah.
And there's another guy who thinks so, because like there's like how do you even describe this? Like it's like a horror movie angle. It's like horror movie music. And like we see this like silhouette. It's like skulking around.
Yeah.
Looking at them in the river. And it's like a goat man.
It's a goat man. It's a satyr.
Yeah. And remember what do they notice about this goat man?
Well, he's got a weapon of sorts. He's got a horn.
He's got a weapon.
He's got two horns on his head. He's got another horn.
One between his legs.
You know, where the sun presumably shines because he's not wearing pants.
Because he's naked. Yeah.
I don't know.
These are the jokes, folks.
Yeah.
These are the jokes that we're in for in this film. Yeah, they don't know what penises
are. Yeah, he's just like a little horny creature.
Yeah, He's
I don't
like
understand. Is he like supposed to be an audience surrogate of some sort? Like, why is he in this movie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because
he's always just like, he is the most sexually deviant character.
Well, one of them.
He's one of,
actually, no, he is the most, but like the other guy isn't so good either.
Yeah, no, they're all, nobody escapes.
The other half man, half animal character is also pretty bad. Maybe it's saying something about like the bestial nature of man.
Yeah, right. It's like our animal nature is.
Yeah. I don't know.
Corrupt. I don't know.
Clearly, they don't like this guy either because they kick the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. They just beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah. And he skulks away. he scampers away.
Classic.
Oh, no. The Kshatriyas. They're attacking the village. Kshatriyas.
Yeah, it's like. You know the Hindu caste system.
You know,
we have that in this movie as well. We don't. We only have white people, but we do have the caste system. it's really just the Kshatriyas too. It's not even like there's like Brahmins or anyone else.
Yeah, it's all you need, you know. Just the one group.
Just the warriors.
Yeah, and they're there. They're around, and. I don't know. They're looking for the two who are one. Walks up to the dad character. He's like, oh, we seek the two who are one. The dad's like, you speak nonsense.
I don't know.
Very good gaslighting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they don't fall for that for a second.
No.
And, yeah, they shoot the dad down. He just gets, like, porcupined with
arrows. Everybody dies like we've seen in so many other films.
I mean, it is just the same scene as like Ator or Beastmaster, or, like any other movie where this happens.
Because
I mean, they're working through
presumably people. Conan.
Yeah, presumably. Yeah, I mean, whatever, right? Maybe.
Yeah, we'll never know. We'll never watch that.
We'll never see it. We saw Conan 2011. Wasn't that enough for you?
Wasn't that enough?
And I mean, it's different from like the other movies like this because like the main characters actually fight back and stuff.
Yeah, they kind of win.
They kind of win. I mean, everyone's dead by this point, but they fight off the goons use the power of the masters.
Magic.
Yeah, they turn blue and then they
start beating them up fighting techniques.
Yeah, no, those are the masters. The masters are doing that. We wouldn't know. We're not.
Well,
masters.
Yeah, because we're not one of the masters. Yeah.
So they're kind of standing around. And, like, this guy comes in. How do you even describe?
I thought he was a dwarf. Yeah. Not, like, like a fantasy dwarf.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like he comes out. Yeah, his costuming is just that.
Yeah.
It turns out he's, like, a Norseman. He's, like, a Viking.
Yeah, because he'll say things like, oh, by Ragnarok.
Or yeah,
like,
talk about, like, weird Norse mythology.
On Wotan. It's, like, but it's not even, like, as fun as, like, Thor's thing. Like, oh, Odin's beard. That's funny.
But this really isn't that.
So yeah, he walks up.
He just literally pops out of the bush.
What does he even say? I feel like he just comes.
He's like, oh, that was good fighting or something.
Yeah,
he says it, you know, little in his weird accent, but.
But does he have any like reason to be a part of this quest?
Well, I think the only reason he's there is because the satyr Pando is like his like crony. So I guess when the satyr got his ass kicked, he went and told him, like, hey, there are some good ladies who are good at fighting over there.
Weird.
And then they just pulled up. I don't know.
Why would Pando and Baldur be like friends? I don't know. whatever, doesn't matter.
Yeah, unlikely companions, you know.
Because who else appears? It's Krona. He's back.
Yeah, Krona just walks into the village.
Yeah,
I thought he was dead.
Well, he looks dead. He's near death because he's aged like 60 years.
Well, he looks
years.
Like a Mall Moses. You know, there's like Mall yeah, Santas. He yeah, looks like a Mall Moses.
That's good.
He's got a shitty beard.
Because yeah, he does look exactly like that. And like he's speaking like slowly for some
reason.
Right.
And like with like an incomplete sentences, like he's at any minute going to die. It's like good run, fight, kill guy.
I mean that's what he says. And like a weird thing happens. Like he drops all the exposition on him. He's like, okay, you guys need to kill Trigon. I gave you powers. Yeah. So use those, which it seems like they already
use those.
Have been doing.
Yeah, I guess they just know how to do it without knowing how to do it.
And then he just walks into
the fire. You can't forget about the word they can't forget.
Oh, yeah.
Vital.
Vital, yeah. I didn't even write it down because it just washed over me in the other exposition that was being said.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says to them, in a time of peril, say the word Vital.
What could it mean?
See, that's why I know that we would not survive in a situation like this.
We wouldn't remember.
We would forget.
Yeah, we would just forget.
Like, okay, whatever, old man. The second he starts,
Once he starts self-immolating, it's like, what is going on?
Everything else just kind of slips away from the memory. Because, yeah, like, they burn the village and, like, their family.
Bodies,
that's
yeah,
their
that's
way, I guess. And then Krona sees this and just, like, walks into the fire. Because I guess he's like, oh, I failed them.
I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess.
I suppose.
You were just so late.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just so desensitized. I'm so used to to the Grebas of the world who will just like watch the horrors that they cause and just feel
unfeeling.
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So when I see a guy like taking responsibility, it's strange.
I know. It's
to me.
Really shocking.
But yeah, so now, you know, they have their quest. Baldur is like the mentor, guardian character. Pando's comic relief, I guess, in
the
party.
Just the pervert.
Yeah, the weird pervert character. And then we have our two main characters. But the party's not big enough. Mm-hmm. We got to find...
Prince Erlich, of course.
Yeah, some guy. And where do they go? It's Judea.
It's Judea again. You remember from almost every other movie?
Yeah. Which is so interesting. I don't know why that's the go-to in these settings. They're in Judea, but it's like
it's more market square in Baghdad. Like, I don't understand why everyone, when they're deciding on a setting, could be anywhere in the world,
could be
anywhere you want in the world,
really could be.
They always go for, they're like, yeah, it's gonna be sandy, there's gonna be market stands, people selling fish and bread,
which is so interesting because like the whole movie is like Hinduism and like I don't know, it's very like India inspired,
yeah,
but. Now we're in Judea.
No, yeah.
What?
I'm not going to complain.
I'm not going to complain. I love Judea. but I mean, I guess it's more fun, like, lived in than the other movies. There's fire blowers and, like,
there's some cool stuff
guys
happening.
Eating from food troughs.
Yeah, they have a vegetable food trough.
Yeah, which I guess that's
I
public
mean, you know,
infrastructure.
It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's whatever. It's fun. Like, there's a guy who's getting his hand chopped off.
Awesome. For stealing.
For stealing, because that's, like, Trigon's law. But he literally stole, like, candy from a baby.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
Which is hilarious.
I mean, they walk into a brothel, and there's a guy getting a Han Solo scene. He's gambling, he's dicing, but he's being, like, charming while he's doing it.
He's our handsome rogue.
He's our handsome rogue. He's cheating at gambling, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
No one calls him on it, though.
They don't realize yet, you know. They just think he might be very lucky.
Yeah. And then, but they don't fight. Like, they start fighting him, but they don't fight him because, like, he's gambling. They fight him just because he's, like, being a bit of a dick. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird. But, you know, whatever. Brothel fight happens.
We'd love to see it.
And the choreography, like, it's good. Like, I like the choreography
in
that scene.
In the brothel brawl, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Brothel brawl. That's good. The scene goes on for like 5 minutes.
It's a long scene.
But nothing really happens, like, move the plot forward. Like, we were talking about that when we were watching it. But now, I guess, we know that the barbarian Han Solo guy, Ehrlich, is a prince, apparently.
Why not, right? He's got royal blood. I mean, why not?
That's fun. And after the fight, they all get away and they go to, like, just a house, I guess?
Yeah.
Where, like, Ehrlich was staying.
Yeah.
And the girls find out, oh, they're girls. They didn't know that before.
It takes a man to know a woman, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Which I guess is like a theme of this movie, like coming into womanhood.
I guess.
Which, like,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. We're not well suited. To
me, it was just, it was corny. It was cornily played out.
Yeah.
I don't think they really, if they were going for anything noble at all,
sure,
they missed the mark.
I mean, if you're going to get this theme, just watch Lady Bird instead.
Yeah, right? Know?
That's what we're about here.
That's right.
Watch Little Women, if that's what that's about.
Yeah, another Timothée Chalamet films.
Yeah.
Watch Dune 2 while
Watch
you're
Dune
at
2.
It. That's empowering for everyone.
Chani really comes into her own in that movie. Chani, whatever. Chani.
Yeah, Chani, if you prefer.
If you prefer Chani. but yeah, so someone was eavesdropping on like their whole conversation. Because like, in the hut, they're talking, like, after the Oh, We're Girls realization, they're talking about like their revenge quest and like explaining why they want to kill Trigon. This lady's like listening with her ear at the door, and apparently I guess she was like, she's one of Ehrlich's, I don't know, people that she hooks up with.
Yeah,
I don't know.
could be.
And she like, she knocks on the door, she tells the girls that, oh no, Ehrlich's been taken by Trigon, follow me to like the market square, and obviously it's a trap. There's like goons waiting. Yeah,
they got him,
and they capture them. And the first time they get captured in this movie, won't be the last.
No.
Then
they're freed so immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole protracted scene where, like, Pando sees them get captured. He goes back to the guys, and the guys free them. Before that, like, there's a whole test to see who's the firstborn. It's Mara or Mira.
Good luck keeping it straight.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mara's the firstborn.
That could be true.
Yeah. I think it's Mara. And they test that's like they, by putting her face in like hot coals, and I guess the fire shows her as the firstborn, like knew she was the firstborn. Whatever, doesn't matter. Because they're free again.
They got back.
In another long and worse fight scene.
Yeah, each one gets a little worse as the movie goes on.
And they're free, and now they're just going to rock up into the Forbidden Forest. Nothing bad ever happens.
No. It's not forbidden for a reason.
And it's like, it's so emblematic of like the other forests in this genre, because it's just like this shrouded, cloudy area. That obviously, I mean, you're not going to go in. But we need cloudy scene.
Yeah.
So that happens.
Hey, I hope there aren't evil monkeys living in this forest.
Yeah, let's hope not. Because is that after the princess like promises,
it's
a princess.
Like, coincides. The evil princess who's like working for Trigon.
Yeah.
Has a monkey companion. Underling.
Yeah, like an ape underling.
Highly anthropomorphic monkey.
Uh-huh.
Named Hunu.
And she promises Hunu, the secondborn sister, for whatever he wants to do, you know. Whatever he wants to get up to. I don't like it.
I don't really like it. I don't really like it.
It insults something deep within me.
Yeah.
It gives
me a bad feel.
Not a fan. But they're in the forest and they're having a conversation about like, oh, where do babies come from? Baldur's like, oh, do you know where babies come from? And the girls are like, well, Crona drops off his children.
Oh, banter.
And then the apes come in, like, interrupt that.
Yeah, they drop, like, laughing gas or something.
Yeah, they have, like, Joker toxin.
Yeah. They steal away one of the girls.
Yeah, yeah, they take her. They take Mara, the firstborn, and they just really get away with it.
Yeah, they do.
You expect there to be more of, like, a fight, but they just kind of take her and leave.
Well, they get Ehrlich, too.
Yeah, they take her and Ehrlich because Ehrlich wanted because the princess wanted Ehrlich. She's like, oh, who's that
tall
hot piece of meat
guy
during the fight scene?
Like the look of him, like cut of his jib.
So, and the rest of the movie, This kind of is a like point in the movie where it just kind of is all downhill.
Yeah, nothing happening after this feels good to watch.
Because like, yeah, now our people are split up. There's like plot A where it's Mara and Erlich in the castle with Trigon, and they're being like groomed to be sacrificed.
Yeah, with the green goo.
With the green goo. And then there's plot B where it's Mira and Baldur. Whatever. Baldur's Gate.
Hey, don't forget about Pando.
And yeah, and Pando.
Pando's still around.
Can't forget Pando. And they're like, huh.
They're like going, they continue going to the castle.
They're going to the castle, but like the monkeys got there so quick.
Yeah, well they're, yeah. You know, it's the monkey speed.
Yeah.
Swinging on vines.
I guess that's true. Yeah, they swang on vines and got to the castle. Whereas our human characters, they can only walk.
Yeah.
So it won't.
Much slower.
Much slower. Yeah, I never even thought about that until just now. I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, maybe everything happening at the castle, like the plot A stuff, just happens in like 10 minutes.
Oh, like immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I guess that works. Yeah. It doesn't work. But I guess, whatever. However we want to rationalize it. Yeah, because we cut to the castle. Mara and Erlich are like being introduced to the place. They're being shown around the MTV crib.
Yeah, given the house tour.
And Trigon pops up. Mara freaks out. And he's like, oh, don't freak out. I'm your dad, actually.
Turns out
I'm your dad.
Yeah, even though he's like celibate in this life.
Yeah.
It's like an intense, like...
Yeah. He's a monk. Like
yeah.
And the reason, yeah, like earlier the princess was like, I mean, sure, you're like promising me a castle and an empire and stuff, but
yeah.
What I really want from you is
your hot bod
and your monk D.
Yeah. And he's like, but I could never.
I could never.
He's a man of strong conviction.
You know, he's saving himself for Kalgara.
yeah.
And he simply couldn't. He couldn't have sex.
wouldn't.
but yeah, but I guess that didn't stop him from having a kid.
Well, yeah, that was a different life. Different life.
That was a different
life.
Different
incarnation.
Get new life, new me.
Yeah. New life, new lease on virginity.
Yeah, born again virgin. but yeah, their whole plot there, like they, the princess and, Trigon use this like green goo wine to like make them suggestive.
Yeah.
And like the princess used that on Erlich to be like, hey, you know, that this monk guy, Trigon, pretty boring. I like you a lot. I think, you know, we should go through the sacrifice. You know, you have sex with Mara, implant the seed of
the ancient blood.
Yeah. Because he's like, he belongs to a line of like kings and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, he's royal.
so go through all that and then sacrifice her. And then somehow we will rule the world together.
Yeah. Well, really, it seems like a false offer anyway, because.
Well, of course, yeah.
Trigon's like behind the curtain yeah. the whole time.
He was
that
sitting
was
in the cuck chair in the corner.
Yeah. He was like, is that true?
Yeah, he's weirdly butthurt about it.
Yeah.
He's like, your words sounded pretty convincing. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. And the way that's set up, it seems like she's going to double cross him at some point, but she just never.
Well, it doesn't get the opportunity by the end.
No, she does not. Because, you know, our main characters, they're charging in. They're like, they go through all these trials and stuff. Or I say that, but they cut
not even really.
To them a lot. But they don't really do anything.
Yeah, they pretty much just walk to the castle.
Yeah, so I might as well just skip to them, like, being in the castle.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, they get there, like, Mira and Baldur, and, like, they're surrounded by guys. At this point, the green goo has infected the minds of Erlich
and they're just completely brainwashed.
Yeah. Mira's like, I remember who you are! You're my sister!
Goo too strong.
Goo too strong. I'd choose my family over goo. Or my
goo
family.
No, I would never choose my family over the goo.
No, of course
Over the good stuff?
Of course not. The Soma? The nectar of the gods? And I should describe what it looks like. It is like this green, like glowing.
So viscous.
Like literally, like it's a cup with like an LED light in it. It's how they must have done the effect. Because like the light like cast on people's
faces.
Yeah, it
comes out of the goo.
Yeah, it's very silly.
Very fun.
But yeah, they're trying to appeal to Mirror and Erlich's better nature. They're not having it.
No.
Baldur like charges forward and like he has this whole like
he's
barbarian rage
sword
thing.
Around.
He's, like, swinging his sword around, just gets shot by an arrow.
Funny.
Very funny.
Funny.
And then Trigon's like, okay, enough of that. And, like,
Finger blast.
Sends them into like the catacombs.
Yeah, I guess they're just on top of catacombs.
Yeah, because it's not that like he blasts them and they teleport there. He like forces them back. He force pushes them back. And then once they're above the catacombs, they just like sink into the earth.
In. Yeah.
Very strange. But yeah, they're in the catacombs. They're walking around. Oh, what's going on here? There's like dead bodies everywhere.
They surely will not be important.
Surely won't be important. We got back up to like the sacrifice scene. Mara's being like held down and about to be sacrificed. Erlich has like the dagger to her. And then like it's at that point for some reason that like some of Trigon's powers like seem to activate and like the dead bodies in the catacombs come back to life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were obviously the other shoe was going to fall on that at some point.
Yeah.
It's Chekhov's catacomb.
Chekhov's dead guys. And like at some like when Mira and Baldur were sent down to the catacombs, like the monkey, he's feeling some type of way.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
What the
you
hell?
You can't do that.
I was promised Mira for my own pleasure, you know.
And this is the
well,
point
sure,
of the movie
say
where
that
we,
so
we have
words.
To root for the monkey, apparently. Yeah, we're supposed to root for this fucking pervert monkey.
Because, Trigon, he hears all of this. But, of course, the ape doesn't speak, so he's just grunting suggestively. But we as the audience, we understand where he's coming from.
We can relate.
Trigon hears all this. He just, like, he bitch slaps.
The monkey.
He skulks off. He's sad.
He takes the sword. Yeah,
he takes Mira's sword and he goes off into like the field where like Pando is in. Pando's like with some like nymphs, I guess.
Yeah, Pando got separated at some point.
And he's just like hanging out with some forest ladies.
Yeah.
Hunu the ape gives the sword to Pando, and this like. Activate some like freedom fighter.
He knows what it means.
So he's like he's waving it around. He runs into like the countryside.
And our two new heroes.
Yeah.
The perverted monkey and the perverted satyr.
Yeah, that's not the hero we need, but it's the hero we deserve.
It's not the hero we want, not the hero we need. It's the hero we have.
The hero we've got.
Heroes at home.
So they go into the countryside. And, like, they rouse the spirit of, like, the sheep and the people, I guess.
Yeah, like, right? It's like, I feel like they should have picked either just the farmers or, like, just the animals.
Well, but you see, it's actually very smart. Because Pando, he's, like, between the world of
half
animals
men.
And the world
much
of
like
humans.
Much like the ape.
Much like the ape, exactly. So they are both of these, like, peripheral, liminal figures.
Yeah, yeah.
They were equally
suited.
Rouse
the loyalties
suited,
of
exactly.
man and beast.
Exactly. It's very smart. Philosophical text that we're talking about today. So they create like a peasant revolt and they all like storm the castle. And at that same time, so like the guys in the catacombs are coming to life and like they're surrounding
it looks pretty dire.
Mira and Baldur.
I wonder what word they've learned.
I wonder what word they've learned
like
for a dire situation.
Vito! You'll never guess what that does. You'll literally never guess what that does.
The thing is, you wouldn't. You would never guess it. Yeah, Vital is like a guy.
Not just any old guy. He's like a weird half lion, half... It's winged lion god from outer space.
And it's such a strange... Because like it's so strangely edited. Because they just cut to him. And he's like he's in like the sky, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like... animated, it's like a claymation kind of thing.
Well, it turns out, you know, he's a puppet.
I guess that makes sense too, but like there aren't any other puppets in this movie.
None at all.
So just it looks so jarring.
It just looks terrible. It looks horrible.
And I should say the like catacomb dead guy effect, very good.
Yeah, they look like some real dead guys.
They look like some real dead guys, exactly. But I guess it's easier to make an alive guy look like a dead guy than just
to make anything
create...
look like whatever the fuck Vital is.
Yeah. And it's tough. But what's even tougher is Trigon summons his deity of choice, Kalgara, who like...
By just killing the princess.
Yeah.
Just killing her.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, basically when the word Vital is said, that like activates Mara as well. She gets off of the sacrificial pyre.
She wakes up back to reality.
Yeah, I don't know how Ehrlich wakes up, but whatever.
What if he's just pretending the whole time?
Yeah, you're just going along with it. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, that's the only explanation, really.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so now they're fighting. They're off the pyre. Trigon sees this, and he's like, okay, fuck. Well, I need someone to sacrifice.
I might as well.
And just like chucks the princess in there.
Yeah.
And this whole movie, you get the impression that like, Trigon's whole plan is just kind of like made up.
Yeah, like, right. Like, this isn't written anywhere. He's just really going off the cuff.
Because it started, okay, I'm going to kill the firstborn. But then it's like, oh, hey, well, this guy with ancient blood is also here. I guess he's going to impregnate the firstborn, and then I'll kill the firstborn. And it's like, okay, well, fuck, that didn't work.
Yeah.
I guess I'll kill the princess.
I'll just kill anyone at all.
Whoever I have on hand.
Why? I don't know. Because it seems to work with like almost 100% success
rate.
Like, Kalgara does appear in the sky.
And what does Kalgara look like when she appears in the sky?
Well, so imagine any hag you've seen
from
any movie or
I'm always imagining that.
Just the head.
Yeah.
Just the head.
Well, that's the best part.
Can shoot lasers.
Okay.
Out of the mouth.
Yeah. Like it's this like hag head that like shoots like ki blasts down on the ground. And yeah, like just shooting beams, things explode. It's very cool.
Yeah, we love explosions, I guess.
I can't even think of what happens. Like, Vital opens up the gate, and then, like, the peasants storm it, or does Vital kill Kalgara before that?
I think, because once Vital doesn't, they keep cutting to Vital doing
nothing.
Not
doing much, yeah.
And then Vital does shoot lightning at Kalgara,
yeah.
Blows up Kalgara, and then he disappears.
Okay, well, yeah, but I guess before he does that, he opens up the gate, and then the peasants come in.
Yeah.
And then he just kills Kalgara easily.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Cool.
So, yeah, Trigon, he's scrambling. He runs into his temple. And, like, he had this, like, second command guy. We skipped over so much, but, like... The second command guy who like doesn't
he
like
doesn't,
yeah, Ehrlich.
His whole thing is just not like he's like angry. He's like an angry guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he finally gets the chance to like kill Ehrlich, but Ehrlich just dispatches him so quickly.
Destroyed.
Yeah, he like chops off his like chips away his shield, and just chops off his whole arm.
Yeah,
And then he's fucked.
And then what he's toast. And then he's just yelling.
And then, like, him and Ehrlich and Trigon square off, but, like, doesn't... Like, Trigon uses illusion
hits him
magic.
With the ill-fated... I mean, I don't know when illusion magic has, like, worked out for anyone, really.
Yeah. Never.
Because it seems like it's like, oh, it's going to work. He turns his sword into a snake, and then he grabs the snake, which, oh, it's still a sword.
Good move. But no, it just gets shot in the back.
Arrow.
I mean, yeah, illusion magic is just the worst magic. I'd rather turn the sword into a snake than just like make him think that it's a snake. I don't know.
Well, because illusion magic is the closest to not magic at all.
Yeah.
Just close-up magic.
Close-up magic.
That's just really what it is.
They are like, the close-up magicians of the wizarding world. But yeah, the girls, they shoot Trigon. I keep wanting to say Mayax because he is Mayax.
He's a worse Mayax.
He's wearing the things that Mayax wears.
Yeah. The Mayax, red cult attire.
The bad guy from Beastmaster, which is this movie.
Yeah, go
exactly.
Listen to that episode if you haven't yet.
It's a good one. It's a good episode. But yeah, I mean, they beat the bad guy and movie's over.
Hey, but you know, it's funny. He walks out of the temple. He's got each girl on one arm, and it's like Baldur's like, "Oh, you gotta keep both." Baldur, you silly nymph! It's two is one.
Baldur, you silly bitch!
They are stupid bitches. Two for one.
don't you know it's a free for all, Baldur? It's Christmas, Charlie Brown. No. He says...
Everyone laughs.
The line is, Baldur, don't you know, they are the two who are one? Because...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have sex with both of them.
We all clap.
It's only having sex with one.
We all clap and it's great. And
genuinely, there's like a laugh track. Like everyone laughs. And the movie ends. It cuts to credits.
That's so good. And this was a like 90-minute movie, basically.
Yeah.
Would it shock you to know it was originally a 2-hour movie?
Wow. I mean, how
could
the
rough cut was 2 hours long.
I know, you know, maybe we at one point in a very rash bit of decision making might have said, oh, our opinion on this movie is yes. But now after recounting it, I'm very much feeling
it's,
no.
Yeah, it's no.
I'm feeling no.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't any of the good ones we've seen. Isn't really. It's like some of the movies.
Oh yeah, it's
we've
very
seen,
much like.
It's not
the
any
good
of the good ones.
Yeah.
It is a different movie, and the decisions it makes that are different are worse. Yeah. They're worse decisions.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot to account for that. There's just so much.
Oh boy.
That went.
Yeah, because I know nothing about this movie, the production of it. Yeah, so, you're the lore master for today.
You know, let's start here. The movie is directed by a guy named Brian Stewart.
Okay.
Now, is Brian Stewart a guy who existed and okay. was the director of this movie? Was Brian Stewart B, the producer, the lead producer, Roger Corman's son, just his infant son at the time?
Okay.
Who did not direct the film. Is it C, anything else?
Wait, what do you mean it's his infant son?
Oh, well, let me tell you, my friend, the real director of this movie, there's a whole deep conspiracy to it, is a guy named Jack Hill.
Okay.
So Jack Hill is approached by the lead producer, Roger Corman.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, Conan, a blast. Everybody loved it. We can
I
do
like
that.
How that's the pitch of all these movies. Okay, Conan. Just imagine.
Do you know
that.
Conan? We're going to do Conan, but it's going to be
two ladies. Two babes.
I guess.
Yeah.
This is a quote from Jack Hill. It says, at that time, Roger had a special effects studio that was doing really good work. They had done some of the special effects on work for Escape from New York.
Okay.
And some other big pictures. And Corman owed special effects.
Escape from New York and other films.
So, you know, he owns everything.
Yeah.
It's like this is an amazing opportunity. He could do it for a low budget.
Yeah.
So to me, it was an opportunity to make something that would look like a big movie, which I'd never had the opportunity to do before. I thought this might get me back in the business of doing mainstream pictures.
Oh, no.
This was Jack Hill's last film.
Oh.
In response to that quote, Jack Hill... He's also quoted later, joking, saying, quote, I should have known better.
Oh.
Because
well,
things...
Yeah. I mean,
things went
very
wrong.
Rarely do people's careers like really just take off after they've
yeah.
been involved with a sword and sorcery film.
Yeah. I mean, it never goes well.
Yeah.
This film, the budget was just fucked. It was totally fucked, and it was Roger Corman's fault for the most part. Corman wanted to do the movie in all these, like, weird places and was like trying to get the best deal possible. They end up filming in Mexico. And what's interesting about that,
yeah.
another bit of trivia, you know, you said, oh, Trigon, his acting is so terrible. While watching the movie, we're like, why is this guy so bad? Why are some of these lines dubbed over? Because every Mexican actor was dubbed over by an American actor.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Right.
Because they just literally did not want them to speak in the movie.
Yeah, like... Because you can tell, too, like, just how horrible the line reads are.
Yeah.
So, but they were speaking, I mean, obviously, they were speaking in English when they're being dubbed over. Because, like...
Yeah. No, they didn't deliver the lines in Spanish.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was just racism, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. It was, in fact, just racism.
Plot twist, racism. Oops, all racism.
And a lot of things went wrong when they were filming in Mexico.
Well, I could have told you that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, could you have told me that there was an explosion in the film studio?
Whoa.
And 2 days worth of footage was lost?
Yo.
So.
Oh, so it was going to be, like, that was, like, I guess 30 minutes worth of footage.
I mean, that could be, it could have been a 5-hour film.
Yeah.
Honestly, with the amount
like
of.
The Fellowship of the Rings.
Filming that they did. Yeah, and apparently, so the dubbing of the dialogue was just done by, like, random office employees.
Nice.
Just people who. Are not actors at all.
Yeah, probably better than the actual actors.
But they are red-blooded Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
I honestly don't understand the hate for the Mexican actors. I don't
it's crazy.
Understand.
It's genuinely crazy. Because there's no way that, like, it was worse than what we have now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what we got was really bad. And, you know, things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong, especially in the money department. There just wasn't a lot of money to go around.
Uh-huh.
The score that we liked so much.
Yeah.
The music.
Because at one point I did say, like, oh, yeah, this is actually, there's good music.
This is actually good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is good music. Yeah. James Horner, when he wrote the score for another movie, Battle Beyond the Stars,
uh-huh.
wrote a really great score.
I see. That was then bought.
Because the studio owned the rights to it.
Yeah.
So they just used a different movie's music
huh.
for this movie.
Well, that is an interesting question. Like, is that better or worse than just, like, having a horrible score like the rest of these movies?
I don't know. Well, because it is very misleading
yeah.
in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the score was somebody else's score. That's kind of rough. The title of the movie... You know, you think, oh, well, Sorceress, that's probably a really thought-out title. They probably put a lot of effort into that. No, the name of the film was decided when, you know, Roger Corman, he just took a list of potential names to a uh-huh. local high school
nice.
And polled students on which they preferred.
That's pretty good. Which one of these do you like
which
more?
Which one of these do you like? I guess they chose Sorceress.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I don't know if I'm a high schooler in, like, the 80s, what I'm going for.
Well, it's kind of metal. Like, I kind of get it. But is the sorceress the princess, or is it, like, the two...
Yeah, right. Who is?
Who is?
I think that's kind of the problem, is having a list of titles that are yeah. not related at all
yeah.
to the content of the film.
That's funny.
Now, one of the reasons... So we've already kind of discussed one of the reasons why Jack Hill... Name does not appear. Name does not appear on the directing side of things. He asked that his name be removed from the credits.
Yeah.
One of the reasons was the fact that the special effects, right, was supposed to be what this movie was about.
Right.
That was the whole pitch. It's like, I got these great special effects. We're going to make this awesome-looking movie. They looked pretty bad in the end. They looked terrible. You know, there were explosions.
Uh-huh.
That much is true. There were some green lasers.
Yeah.
Like, those were decent, yeah. I guess. But, you know, when he was watching it back, he thought, these effects are so bad. I don't want to be attached to this movie.
I can't put my name to this.
But the second reason is perhaps even funnier. So one of Jack Hill's friends,
uh-huh.
an actor named Sid Haig, he wrote a part for Sid Haig to be in this movie.
Right.
Can you guess which of the very important characters in this film was supposed to be his, like, friend who he's writing the movie in part for to give him mm-hmm. this role? Very important role.
Hunu. It's got to be Hunu.
Very close. It's Panda. Panda.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
he wrote the role of this fucking pervert satyr for his friend.
Yeah. That is the exact role I'd give you in a movie that I wrote, by the way.
He's, like, nonverbal. He doesn't speak.
Yeah.
I don't know if the role of Panda was, like,
yeah, I guess
rewritten.
We never really described what Panda does in this movie. He just kind of, like...
Ah.
Yeah, exactly. That's
a lot.
Exactly
yeah, I mean, that's why...
And that's why I'd cast
yeah.
you. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Because of my career as, like, a sound creator.
Uh-huh.
No, but this guy apparently was, like, he's brilliant. Perfect role for you. I'm going to write it into the script. It's some,
yeah.
like, little freak who... has nothing to do with the plot,
it's
really.
Just like you.
Just like you. But Roger Corman, who's the money guy, refused to hire Sid Haig. He was like, oh,
yeah.
he wants too much money. We're not going to hire him.
Yeah.
So, you know, do the right thing for your friend and just scrub your own name off the movie.
I mean, that's good,
it's
I guess.
Like, yeah, I guess that's cool. And,
yeah.
and one of the things you might say, oh, well, the lighting in this movie wasn't very good. Was that a money issue? You know, was that money? No. Apparently... Director Jack Hill claimed that Dino De Laurentiis, who was filming Dune in the same studio, stole the movie's lighting for his
yeah.
own production.
Hell yeah.
Stole the lighting equipment.
What do you mean he stole the lighting?
Like stole the lighting equipment.
Yeah. Wow.
Could that be true?
Wow.
No.
And for
that
Dune?
Couldn't be true.
For Dune?
For 1984 Dune. Stole the equipment from his set.
I believe it.
I mean, that's insane. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Imagine being, like, pissed that your movie sucks because you think the director for Dune stole your lighting. Like, that's just...
It's the most, like, schizophrenic thinking.
It's just so, so wild. Yeah, so he didn't want to be associated with this movie
yeah.
at all. And that, you know, and I've explained a lot, okay, it seems like things are going bad. This wasn't a very good movie. It was overscheduled for shooting. You know, just a lot of, like, typical movie things went wrong.
Mm.
Now, the funniest thing
oh, no.
that I could find about this movie does not have to do with the production necessarily. It has to do with one actor, Douglas Sanders.
Uh-huh.
And he played Hunu. Oh. And to prepare for his role.
The man behind the mask.
Prepare for his role. He spent days studying apes at the zoo.
Those horny little freaks.
So he was really doing the most. And yeah. It's funny when you see the movie and you're like, oh, okay, this is supposed to be someone who studied
authentically,
apes.
Yeah, recreating the ape experience.
I mean, I don't think I would admit that I went to the zoo and was like watching the apes to see how they act.
Taking notes.
But yeah, I mean, you know, he did a great job, I think, as the monkey man. As the monkey man. Nice. Which, I don't know. Is that what Hunu is?
Well, because he's not Maybe. A monkey, is he? He's an ape.
He's an ape. He's an ape. No tail.
No tail.
No tail means he's an ape.
No tail. I think we said monkey a few times, but he's
well,
an ape.
You know, yeah. For the sake of comedy, they're really indistinguishable.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what else to say. The Harris twins, who were Playboy Playmates, if you didn't,
yeah,
you couldn't
yes.
tell by like
yeah.
the things that happened in this movie.
Yeah,
they were involved with Playboy. They were also acquitted for tax evasion, which is fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
I'm glad they got away with it.
Yeah, right. I like that it's not, oh, they were like convicted or like accused or something. Yeah. It's like, no, they got off.
They got off.
They got off. They yeah. beat the case. And it was a good time for everyone involved.
Yeah, besides the audience, I guess.
Yeah, well,
but,
you know.
We can't have everything.
You can't always make a good movie.
Yeah.
You can't always make a good movie.
I don't even know, like... I guess this movie is novel in the fact that it's, I think, maybe the only one with, like... Oh, it's not the only one with a female lead, but it's the only one with two female leads.
Now, I will say this. They do rob a lot of, like, the plot resolution from
that's
the
true.
Actual twins.
Which is crazy.
By just giving it to Ehrlich.
Yeah, Ehrlich becomes the main character at some point, which is
strange. It's just like, come
strange.
On.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, guys.
Because, like, honestly, he's just not even as good of an actor as the two... main characters.
And there's so much set up for them with the mystical powers.
And they just don't do much.
And it's like that's their whole quest. Ehrlich has no reason to kill.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole
Trigon.
Thing. Like, they have to convince him to do anything. He's still not really on board until, like, I mean, he never really gets on board.
No.
Until
he's off board.
Is trying to kill, Trigon. But, and, like, I guess it's good that the main characters even get the chance to kill him. But, like, the majority of the fight scene at the end
is really
Trigon and Ehrlich.
Trigon and Ehrlich. Strange. Well, and it's funny because you think about just the basic plot elements of the movie, and you realize, oh, like, Ehrlich does not need to be in this movie.
No.
Like,
no.
Just could have been cut from the movie entirely. But I guess they're like, oh,
we need a man. Yeah. Hey, but you have Baldar.
Yeah, you already
you
have
know?
Baldar.
And you have
Pando.
Yeah.
That's 1.5 men.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, it's hard to get past some of the dated elements. Like the fact that the plot was just ruined for the sake of having a male protagonist. they don't give these poor women anything good to do or say.
No.
They are just eye candy for most of the movie.
And like, I don't think the movie was very successful because I'd never hear anyone speaking about it ever.
Yeah.
So I guess even that didn't really pay dividends.
No. Well, but the thing is, it didn't stop Roger Corman from producing a series of like Conan spinoff-esque movies. One of which we've seen. Can you guess which movie?
Yeah.
See, like this movie.
I thought that
he's
I recognized the name Corman. It was The Barbarians, right?
Oh no! It was a movie. A little more perverted than that.
Oh, Deathstalker.
It was Deathstalker, Deathstalker 2.
Oh, my fucking God, of course.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he, apparently he's got his shtick, and he sticks to the shtick.
He's got his shtick, and he's sticking to it.
He's sticking to it.
Yeah.
As he does in other movies.
Yeah, that's weird, and I guess expected.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I don't know, this movie must have made enough money. I think it made like $1.3 million.
Okay.
Which
I think it's good. I don't know.
I don't know how much they spent on the movie. Couldn't find that information, but it does seem like it profited. It's kind of a bummer.
It is sad that like the only or one of the only like female-led movies in this genre is just like this weird sexual romp. That's like purely just for the male gaze.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that it's interesting that when this guy watched Conan. He was like, oh, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what people want from a movie like this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess it worked. But at the same time, you know, in my highly literary opinion.
Nice, nice.
Not very accurate to what the genre could be.
And it like hasn't given the movie any staying power, really. Like yeah. it's not going to like have any kind of resurgence or like be culturally relevant the way like Conan.
Well, yeah, because you have to skip through like a good 10 minutes of it for just the obscene, yeah. gratuitous, just disgusting things that happen.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah, we kind of skipped over like a lot of it.
Yeah.
In this summary, which I think is for the best.
Yeah.
We don't need all that, I think.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to help you understand the genre more.
No, it will not.
But it does represent the lows that the genre gets you.
Yeah, but it's the lows are all things that you already like probably assumed about the genre to begin with, you know.
Yeah.
We're trying to uplift it. We're trying to be positive, you know.
Yeah, and to uplift, you have to start from very low.
Yeah, start from low.
And that's why, you know, these things, they're good to talk about. They're good to look at. It really gives you an insight into the twisted mind of people like Roger Corman.
The sick, twisted mind of Robert Corman. Roger Corman.
And his whole thing.
Yeah.
His whole deal with these movies that he loves making and made more of.
And we just let him do it, too.
We just let him do it. It's a great thing. I mean, it's like, people say, oh, it's our, somehow, it's, we shouldn't, we can't, whatever, speak on it.
Uh-huh.
But these people in the 80s, they watched the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, where are y'all at?
Yeah.
You guys patronize this shit.
Exactly.
We watched it on Freebie.
Uh-huh. We watched it with ads.
We watched it with horrible ads.
During a sex scene, they cut to commercial, and there's an ad for like a skin cream called Penetrex.
I mean, why is it called Penetrex?
And it's for like eczema or something. I don't know.
Is it because
like,
it penetrates your skin?
I mean, it must be. But it's like, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's
not do that.
Penetrex. And that is the type of shit you'll see a product on Freebie. Just doesn't feel real.
No.
Like, I've never seen Penetrex in my local CVS.
You haven't seen Penetrex?
No.
That's too bad.
No, I'm not on that wave yet.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm there. I'm penetraxing all the time.
You've been penetrated.
I've been penetraxed, yeah.
Penetraxed.
Penetrax would be a good like villain name for the sequel to this movie. Sorcerer's
yeah, oh, that's
two.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should start writing this.
Honestly, it's like we could do such a job.
Yeah, such a job.
Such a job. We could make such a movie.
Yeah. But we'd have to do Sorceress 2 in the style of Sword and the Sorcerer 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Where none of the main characters are there.
Nope.
It's very low budget. There's like, we cut away to like comic drawings for things we don't want to shoot.
The color grading will be terrible because we don't know how to do that.
And because none of the main characters will be there, instead of two female characters, there's kind of like one guy in there.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be great, you know.
I said we pick up, you know, I hate to say it, Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin Sorbo. I like Kevin Sorbo.
I think
he's hot right now.
He's coming back. Yeah. He is making a comeback at the Zeitgeist.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely in our Zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, to add one more to the Zeitgeist, we'll be watching another movie next week.
Yes, we will.
As we always do.
Movie.
As we oft do.
Will be.
A sequel to one of the greatest episodes of this podcast and of human development.
And a slept-on episode, too.
Slept-on episode. It was Beastmaster 1, which means that now we'll be covering
Beastmaster 2.
Through the Portal of Time. I don't know what you're thinking.
Uh-huh.
What does that imply?
Huh, what does that mean?
Does that mean time travel? And yes, it does.
Yeah.
But not to the so distant past, but to the not so distant past.
Not from the so distant past, but the not very distant past.
Of 1990s Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles. It counts. Stop fucking bothering us
shut
up and watch the movie.
Shut up. Stop emailing us. I can see you. You're typing the email right now.
Sorcerer at
google.gmail.yahoo.
Watch on Amazon Prime or on other places.
Or anywhere else.
Wherever you can find it. Yeah. Get it where you fit it. That's right. That's our motto
here. This is Sword of Sorcery. Get it where you fit it.
Bye.
Bye.